Now notice the next section here, verse 6 through 8. You have the government and the glory of the Messiah. This is his coronation day, and this is the key of the psalm. Listen, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." He's going to rule in righteousness. We haven't had that yet either. And the need of the world today is a righteous ruler, and God has that one. The Lord Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and not until then will we have peace on this earth." That's the need of the world. When Betsy Ross made the first American flag, George Washington expressed the wish it would wave 1,000 years. We just celebrated the 200th anniversary, and we are already growing old as a nation. But this is the eternal government of God. He's the anointed one. Have you noticed how he's spoken of? You're anointed, it means Messiah, means Christ. It's not a name. That's his official title. He came as a prophet. He's the messenger and message of God. That speaks of the past. He is today our great high priest. He's at the right hand of God. That's for the present. But he's coming as king, the Messiah. That's for the future. Now we're told here the oil of gladness. He's anointed with the oil of gladness. We always think of him as a man of sorrows. I think he was the most joyous person on this earth when he came. Will you notice this? "God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they've made thee glad." And he came that the joy might be full when he came to this earth. And it was for the joy that was set before him he endured the cross. We need a rejoicing church. Israel in the wilderness. Judah, which means praise, led the wilderness march. They complained, they whined, and sang the desert blues, but they should have been praising God, and that's what the church should be doing today. We have a hymn that we sing at Christmas time, and it's not a Christmas hymn at all. "Joy to the world, the Savior's come." That refers to his second coming, not his first coming at all. You read that Christmas hymn, and maybe you'll want to save it for another occasion. Now, we are told here, as we move down, and I must move down in this psalm, it's such a wonderful psalm. In verse 9, we have a scene at the court. "King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir." Now, the church is not mentioned by name in the Old Testament. You always see it in type or in figures of speech. No other way. I think most of the brides in the Old Testament are pictures of the church. Eve is, of course. And I think there are others that are. Ruth, in the little book of Ruth. And who is the queen here? Well, I think it's really a picture of the church. And she's not identified. And Christ will lift the church to the throne. And we're told here, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people, thy father's house." Well, we are to leave the world. We are saved out of the world. We love not the world. We are to cling to him. Now the church is to be made beautiful. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty." Oh, what a picture that you have here. Sin is removed in that day. And then we come down to this very last verse that is here, and that is verse 17. And I probably ought to just say a word. Well, I'd love to deal with more of it, but let me take the last verse. "I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever." It is the millennial kingdom. But the millennial kingdom goes on into eternity after he makes a few adjustments, after Satan is turned loose, and then he's again cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This, my friend, is a glorious psalm. When you put it back in its perspective, it has a great meaning for us today. And I trust that we see it in its perspective.